At the top of our program, college campuses across the country are having a vigorous, sometimes angry debate pitting cultural sensitivity against free speech. One of the most publicized recent examples involved an intense encounter triggered by Halloween. At Yale University, a group of students publicly called for greater awareness of culturally insensitive costumes. A storm erupted when an administrator explained her hesitation to get involved, saying in part that free speech and the ability to tolerate offense are the hallmarks of a free and open society. So, is a stricter standard involving ethnic sensitivity infringing on free speech? Our next guest has watched the argument unfold both nationally and here on the MSU campus. Adam Kandube is a professor at the MSU College of Law, where he is the director of the Intellectual Property Information and Communications Law Program. Thank you for your willingness to participate in this discussion.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Broadly, at least, this is often described as tension between political correctness and free speech. And to be clear, the phrase political correctness is typically wielded by opponents of it. It's a pejorative phrase. But when you strip it of that judgment, what's happening seems to involve changing views about how cultural or ethnic minorities are treated. A stricter standard seems to be evolving. Is it accurate to describe it that way?
I think that's right. But these standards have always been developing. In a country as ethnically and racially diverse as America, we're always changing in our views toward how to deal with race and ethnicity. Think about how we dealt with the words that we used to describe race and ethnicity 25 years ago. We've changed a lot, and that can be very good. But I think there's something new here. There seems to be a widening gyre of offense, and that there seems to be stronger demands from students that the university, that administration take control rather than having norms develop from the bottom up.
Now, and to what extent would you say that is colliding with important free speech guarantees?
Well, I think it is. There are areas where people once felt very free to express their ideas, whether that would be in the classroom or in informal events like Halloween parties. And there have been calls to sort of restrict speech and to impose standards where otherwise people were free.
The issue played out fairly publicly at Yale University back in October in an angry confrontation between a student and a husband-wife pair of administrators, Nicholas and Erica Christakis, after a letter urging cultural sensitivity in the selection of Halloween attire. Erica Christakis wrote, in part, "Is there no room anymore for a child or young person to be a little bit obnoxious, a little bit inappropriate or provocative, or, yes, offensive? American universities were once a safe space not only for maturation, but also for a certain regressive or even transgressive experience. Increasingly, it seems they have become places of censure and prohibition. Free speech and the ability to tolerate offense are the hallmarks of a free and open society." What do you make of that response?
Well, I think Erica Christakis has something. For as long as there has been Halloween, there have been offensive Halloween costumes and tasteless Halloween costumes. But I think in prior decades, these were handled by individuals and social groups and would say, hey, this is not right. It's not cool. And that gave an individual choice. Do you want to be in that group? Do you want to go to another group? Do you want to accept social censure or not? I think what happened in Yale and is happening on other campuses is that students are demanding, administrators, you take care of this issue. We don't want to talk face-to-face with our colleagues and our friends. We just want a top-down solution to these issues. And I think that's very different. And I think Erica Christakis was onto something.
To the extent that the Christakises were vilified by one segment of the student body, what do you make of that?
Well, I find it somewhat disturbing in that certainly the Christakises came forth with a coherent and logical view of what the university should be, and they were vilified. And I think that's using sort of the etiquette and politics of racial and ethnic relations to shut down speech, and that can be very troublesome.
Adam Kandube is a professor at the MSU School of Law. We're talking about changing attitudes toward cultural sensitivity on college campuses and the backlash that is leading to. I understand that at the MSU Law School, we've had our own variation on this theme. It didn't trigger the uproar that it did at Yale, but interestingly, it was Halloween costumes that did it. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. Well, the law school administration did send out a letter to staff and to faculty imploring or suggesting in strong terms that costumes be culturally sensitive. And that did create quite a lot of discussion among students and faculty. And I think, to be honest, the MSU did a lot better than Yale in dealing with these issues. And I guess I can say that Yale's my alma mater. But
no kidding.
Yes, indeed. It was actually very, very productive and useful. I had a lot of discussions with students and faculty about the appropriateness of this sort of role for the administration. And it was, for me, very beneficial, and I hope for my students, to hear these sort of arguments come from people you respect and like in different contexts.
Now, some are concerned that this atmosphere is stunting important discussions involving race and ethnicity, and that where discussions involving race and ethnicity need to happen, that they won't happen because someone will take offense at the mention of these topics. Do you see that unfolding? What do you make of that?
Well, I think to some degree that's true. I think many professors are very careful about what they say in class, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. I teach criminal law and criminal procedure, so I have to talk about rape and sexual harassment and sexual assault, and I also have to talk about police stops and police arrest, and these are charged, difficult issues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very careful about what I say because I don't want students being angry with me or me being the issue. It's my job as a law professor to get a lot of law into their brains so that they can pass the bar exam and be good lawyers. That's not my job, is to stoke these sort of controversies. But I think in a lot of other contexts, there is a holding back by professors because who wants to even face the possibility, the risk of being labeled insensitive?
Do you feel like you are choosing your words more carefully these days than in the past?
Well, I think I always have, given some of the sensitive issues that I talk about. But if, for instance, there were a speech code or if there were some sort of formal process where I would be reviewed or possibly face censure, I think teaching would be almost impossible for me. There would be a real sense that someone was always listening, and I think that could be very destructive to the educational process.
Can you talk to us about how you might alter a lecture or a classroom discussion with this stricter standard in mind?
Yeah, I think sometimes I already do it. So, for instance, on a very controversial issue, law professors engage in what's called Socratic method, where I argue with students.
Mm-hmm.
In a very controversial issue, I may not actually take a position, and I will just lay out the arguments and describe them because I don't want the student arguing with me and making feels as if I'm taking a particular point of view. And I have to take a step back. That might make the class conversation a little bit less dynamic, but I think that this is something I think a lot of professors feel, and that given the climate on campus, you have to take a little step back.
I've spoken with a few people who say they support a stricter standard of cultural sensitivity, yet they also maintain that they vigorously defend free speech. Is there a middle ground here?
Well, I think that the issue goes to what a university should be. If cultural sensitivity means regulating the costumes people wear, punishing comments that were innocently made or which were reasonably interpreted as not to be offensive, or mandating the way literature or law or history is taught, then I think there is a no middle ground. I know that sounds a little harsh and doctrinaire, but these are central choices we make about the sort of institutions we want.
Mm. Critics of this trend complain that we are coddling young people at a time when they need to be intellectually stimulated or even provoked. Do they have a point?
I think they do. Again, people can disagree about what the central issues are in a university, central values or purposes of a university, but I see my job as to help students respond to arguments, to make them more knowledgeable and confident with dealing with people of all sorts, with all views, not to sort of cower in safe spaces.
Mm. Another interesting feature of this landscape is vocabulary. Phrases and words have recently evolved around this, and and are acquiring a lot of significance. Safe zones, cultural appropriation. I think we're seeing changing definitions of pain and what constitutes pain and attack. This idea of a safe zone, for example, is already evolving. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, there's a little bit of sort of Orwellian meaning slippage here. And to me, safe space, the first time I heard the phrase was in the 1990s when I was a law student doing legal volunteer work in a shelter for abused women. And the safe space was literally a place where they would be safe from violent boyfriends or husbands. The term implied actual physical danger.
Mm-hmm.
Now the term seems to me, you want a place where you won't have any ideas that will bother you, a place where there's psychic equanimity. And I don't think we do anyone a service by confusing that concept with a punch in the face.
I am struck that millions of Americans who may not spend any time on college campuses or who are just generally unaware of campus life may be disconnected from this debate. Not aware of it because right now, at least, the focus of this seems to be university campuses. Any thoughts, Adam Kandube, on how this might play out more broadly?
Well, I think that there is sort of a mode of public discussion that you see in campuses in which, you know, claims about offense are used to shut down discussion about important issues. And I think most recently, you saw that last week, I think in the reaction to the oral arguments in the Abigail Fisher v. United States, University of Texas, University of Texas Law School concerning affirmative action.
So is it at the U.S. Supreme Court?
The U.S. Supreme
Correct.
Court last week.
Yeah.
That's right. And it was about a comment, a question that Justice Scalia made having to do with what's called the mismatch theory. And again, this has to do with a very controversial issue, affirmative action. And an argument was raised in the briefs that affirmative action may in fact hurt its intended beneficiaries because by encouraging schools to accept members of certain ethnic and minority groups with lower credentials, these students may not do as well in school, may do worse on professional exams, may sort of not thrive, and thus do worse career-wise had they not gone to a slightly less prestigious school. And thus the argument would be that, in fact, these preferences in affirmative action actually end up hurting their intended beneficiaries. It's an interesting argument. Not everyone agrees with it, but there's some impressive social scientific evidence suggesting that might be true. And Justice Scalia simply just asked the question. He said, this has been raised in the brief, that, in fact, students may not do as well, and that may actually hurt them. And the reaction was quite extreme. It reminded me a little bit about what you see at a college campus, where he was claimed in newspapers that it was a racist and horrifically insensitive comment, and it was retrograde. Senate Minority Leader Reid got involved with him and denounced him. And I think that was very disturbing. This is a very sensitive issue. This is a very difficult issue. But Scalia was just doing his job as a judge, which is to ask questions that were raised in the briefings and to see what the lawyers say. He didn't espouse that view. And yet we see really sort of notions of political correctness trying to shut down that debate because some people just don't want to hear it.
Adam Kandube is a professor at the MSU School of Law. We have been talking about changing attitudes toward cultural sensitivity on college campuses and the backlash to that. Professor Kandube, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.